Friends, over the last couple of Sundays, you and I have been listening to Paul, who's inspired by the Spirit, as he tells Titus what to teach to the churches on the island of Crete. It was a very, very self-centered church, a very, very self-centered society, and Paul sends Titus there to straighten out the issues. And that's what makes this book so relevant. And having explained the gospel, you see, that's what we must stress this morning. Having explained the gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ has shed his blood for sinners on the cross, and that you and I need to repent and to trust in that work and to be born again. That's the gospel. We need to be converted and we need to be saved. Once that happens, there is a change of lifestyle. And it's big. Our lives are totally transformed. Now, once you understand that, then these verses become much clearer. We are not saying to the world, all the older men, that's how you must live, because they won't be able to. We can't say to all the older ladies out there, that's how you must live. They won't be able to and they won't want to. But when you become a Christian and Jesus is Lord of your life, then the desire is to live out that gospel and to so live that the Word of God is honored. So we had a look at the older men, and brothers, you will remember that there were those issues that were required of you, that you were to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, love, and endurance. Those were the six goals for a Christian older man. Then we dealt with the younger men. And one requirement was laid down for them, and that is that they be self-controlled. Every area of their lives comes under the control of the gospel. Then last Sunday, we had a look at the older women. And we saw there that they are to be reverent in the way they live, not slanderers or gossipers, not addicted to wine, and to teach what is good. It's a lovely picture, that. It really is. So here you've got the older ladies, if I may say that to us this morning, and they are really modeling the life. They're modeling the life. There's a godliness and a reverence and a holiness of life. And the younger, particularly the younger married woman, are able to look up to the older woman and say, well, that's how I want to be, and that's how I ought to live. So they model the life, and then they train. So Titus is not to train the younger woman. He leaves that in the hands of the older woman. Now, what is required today, dear friends, for our younger woman today? Those who have, in this sense this morning, have recently been married. So we could say it as referring specifically to younger married women. What does the Bible lay down here? Now, as we go through these 7 points, I know that some of them are controversial. Some of them you may not agree with me. But I ask you to listen. It's a beautiful picture. And yet the sad thing is, as we go through it, you're going to say to yourself, we don't see this. We don't actually see it very often. But may God help, especially for those of you today who are younger married women. I pray for much grace for you. It's not easy. It's a very difficult world we're in. It's a very materialistic world. And the standards have gone, listen to what Jesus would have of you. Right, what's number one? train the younger woman to love their husbands. I thought one or two of you guys would jump up there and join me. Anyway, that almost seems strange, doesn't it? Here's somebody who's a younger married woman, got smaller kids. Surely this would be happening. But you see, the background could be that some of the women on the island of Crete may have had to marry men where their marriage was arranged by their parents or somebody else, regardless of any romantic feelings. That could have been the background. Others, very sadly, could have been put into marriages where there was not only a lack of love or security, but it was purely for producing children. But whatever it is, what it is saying is a lovely thing and a very important one, and that is, love your husband. I can't thank you enough for the privilege of teaching you the Bible. I love it with all my heart. Every day is a sheer joy to wake up and to learn the Word of God. And I learned so much when I prepare these for you. And I want to show you something interesting. Often in the Bible, when the word love is used, I'm sure you've heard Ben and Bishop Bell and Bishop Bradley, all the other ministers who have taught you, and Reg, have all told you, what is the Greek word that is normally used for love? Who can help me? Agape love. You've all heard of that. You see, you all are boffins, eh? Agape love. For God so agape the world. Agape, which is a Greek word meaning self-sacrificing love. So it's a decision of the mind whereby you decide to those who are undeserving, I'm going to put into your life the maximum good that I can. Agape. It doesn't use that word here. It rather uses another word, which is the word phileo. Phileo. And this word for love in the Greek language is an emotional word. It involves friendship. It expresses delight and pleasure in doing something. This is the kind of love that flows from the emotions. So here's the young woman at home with all the responsibilities upon her. And what is her greatest call? To see in her husband a man that she wants to respond to with warm feelings of attraction an absolute commitment. And she does it from the heart. She loves him with a passionate love. She's absolutely attracted to him and is willing to give her life for him. It's not agape, it's phileo. The other interesting thing about phileo is this, that this kind of love can be learned. So that if ever a young lady comes to you and says, you know, I don't love my husband anymore. So, well, that's fine. But you can learn to love him again. And you know what, friends? This is top priority for a younger woman. It doesn't say, love your children first. Love your husband. Because the prime responsibility in a wife's home is her husband. And if I may speak as a minister for a moment, there are many homes that are in trouble because the wife pours enormous amount of love onto the kids and neglects the husband. That's exactly what this is putting right. It's saying, wives, your first top priority is to love your man. Love him. Love him. Love him. Be devoted to him. Be attracted to him. So live your life at home that that man feels he's the most loved man in all the world. And don't, and be careful not to fall into a trap whereby your love may be poured onto the kids and he is neglected. That's number one. Young ladies, young women, whatever it is, the main thing in life is not to get to the top of a career or not to make a lot of money. The main thing is love your man. Oh, now you're all looking at me as if I'm... But anyway, think about it. What's number two? The second thing that is to be taught to the younger wives, see, is to love their children. And again, I can't tell you, friends, I'm afraid my heart is a very, very soft heart. And I crumble sometimes and just break down to hear of some of the tragic situations of children. And I can't believe how moms can neglect their kids. So what the Bible is saying today is this. Saying to young moms, it's not easy. There's massive pressure out there. Electricity is going up. Petrol is going up. Bonds are going up. Interests are going up. Anything that's going down, they tell us, is the price of Kia cars, I believe. what's that, Edward? I was listening to you on the radio. Oh, one of these cars. No, Polos, I think. Anyway, don't worry about it. But you see, it is pressure up there. And you see everybody else, and the temptation is to get out there and to neglect home. And what we want to encourage you today and say with all our hearts is to young mothers, pour your love into your kids. And she's not here now, and I wouldn't do it at the earlier service with her, but I cannot tell you how much I appreciate Mary. She has been nothing less than phenomenal with our boys. Now, our kids are leaving home. She got a little bit of an increase on Friday. I don't know why. I'm sure the department made a mistake, but anyway. I said, well, don't ask him in case it was a mistake. Just keep quiet. She says, I've got an increase. I said, I don't believe it. Everything's going up. Well, how come you've got an increase? She says, I don't know. She says, and you know what? The first thing she says, and now we'll be able to give Greg some extra pocket money when he goes down to Cape Town. And my heart must have beat. I said, oh, I was hoping for an extra golf club or something like that. But you see, where's the heart? The heart is, there's a little bit of pocket money coming in, and it's for the kids. And it's wonderful to see that. And when I look even further back, if you don't mind me sharing it, sure, I come out of a home where I can honestly say I never, ever once, ever, in all my growing up years, ever went home without Mom being there. And I'm so grateful, eh? Mom was always there. Because she loved the kids. So I think that's quite clear, isn't it? Love your children. Love your children. Love them. Create the most wonderful, loving environment for those kids to be loved and treasured and given security in a home. Number three. The third thing that is laid down for the younger wives today is not just to love their husbands and then to love their children, but to be self-controlled. To be self-controlled. It's amazing how often that phrase is going to come up as we go through Titus. Like all other Christians, the young woman is to be absolutely in control of her physical, her psychological, and her spiritual faculties. They were not to be in bondage to any fleshly desires or any fleshly impulses or any passions. What the Bible is saying is, young ladies, be self-controlled. Don't allow any fleshly desire to overrule you or passion. Be self-controlled. And then number four, to be pure. To be pure. Now, what a tremendous word for today. In your marriage, to be morally and sexually absolutely pure. And in a Cretan culture, that was very uncommon practice, as it is for today. And we are saying to young ladies and to young wives, don't follow the world. And the tragedy is, friends, as you know better than I do, it's all over. And that's why I have a hatred, man, for these programs that portray so much unfaithfulness in marriage. The Bold and the Beautiful is horrendous. And what's the thing? Desperate Housewives. Now, I hope none of you watch these things, because it's bad news, isn't it? And you can have something on the quiet and have a relationship on the quiet and drop your moral standards. Titus is saying to us this morning, don't do that. Be a Christian. Live a life of moral purity, of absolute loyalty to your husband. Be in your marriage until death do us part. For richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, it's until death. Now you go to the younger wives and you teach them that. Don't follow the world. Be pure and clean for your husband. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's number four. The fifth characteristic that is laid down for the young wife at home is to be busy. She is to be a busy, busy person. But notice what it says. She is to be busy at home. That's the important thing. You see the great importance, again, of the home, of the family, of creating an environment of tremendous affection. It takes time. It takes effort. It's not easy being a parent today. And mom, I may say to you, I know maybe you won't like me saying this, but do all you can to stay at home with your kids. Now, I know there are times when it's impossible, but do all you can. Do all you can. Be at home for the boys. Be at home for the kids. When they come home, you there. When they need a lift to their ballet, you there. Spend time, be busy at home. And don't let the world ever, ever give you the impression that you are losing out. You are doing the greatest, greatest thing you could do for your kids. Be busy at home. What a wonderful thing that is. What a glorious thing that is. What a God-honoring thing that is, that it's home. And you know what it's like. You can go into some places, they're lovely houses, but you can go into other places and they're homes. Oh, isn't that right? Eh? And you can always see a home where mom is busy, busy at home. Number six, she is kind. She is kind. Remember like Dorcas in Acts chapter 9? She was a very kind and a very generous woman. And she used all her sewing skills to meet the needs of others. very kind. And so you've got this lovely Christian always looking for ways and means of having people around at home. Somebody needs a visit. Somebody needs a meal. Somebody needs some clothes. Somebody needs a phone call. Somebody needs some help. And there is this lady, loving her husband and loving her kids, loving her home, absolutely pure and self-controlled, but lots of time for others. She's a kind, kind person. And then lastly, number 7, and to be subject to their husbands. So she goes home and acknowledges the fact that God has placed her husband as the leader of the home. He's not to be a domineering, autocratic boss. He is to lead that home as Jesus led the home. How did Jesus do it? Jesus washed their feet. And my dad always used to say to us, when we were growing up, he always used to say these words, never forget that a woman is a responder. Yeah. My dad drilled that into me, eh? He says, never forget, my boy, a woman is a responder. And you'll often find that when a woman rebels at home, the real reason is she hasn't got a man who loves her. When she is loved and treasured and appreciated and looked after, what a privilege, what a joy it really is for her to respond in submission. She loves her husband with this phileo love. She wants to be at home as the church is to Jesus. And the most natural thing in the world is for her to submit to her husband. Well, my dear friends, forgive me where I failed and haven't expressed it or interpreted it correctly. But I want you to know one thing. That's the lovely picture that the Bible gives us for a young married woman. It's a beautiful picture. Not what the world is saying out there, but the picture of a woman that's come to Christ, loves her husband, loves her kids, self-controlled, morally pure, busy at home, kind, and in submission to her husband. Now, if you don't live like this, see how verse 5 ends? So that no one will malign the word of God. You see, William Henderson makes this comment. He says, if young moms professing to be Christians should manifest a lack of love for their husbands and their children, or a lack of self-control, or of purity, or a love of the home, or kindness, or submissiveness, they will cause the message of salvation to be evil spoken of by outsiders. We don't want that. We want our lives to be of such a standard that they are able to attract people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So in closing, what did we see last Sunday? And again, it's very, very much the same for today. The first thing is you and I want to develop a gospel lifestyle. So we're finishing the section now. We're going to move on next Sunday. But if you're an older brother, you should be going home and saying to God, I've come to Christ. Now I want my lifestyle to reflect the gospel. That's what I want. I want a gospel lifestyle. Not what the world is dictating, but what would honor the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a young man or an older woman or a younger married woman, your desire is to be one of gospel. The other big lesson, as we put down there in the outline, is that we must be careful of the youth culture. Remember that quote I gave you last Sunday, that since the 1950s, a revolution has taken place where youth dominates. You see? But not Titus. Titus is saying, no, We need the enthusiasm of the young people, but we need the experience and the maturity of the older folks. So who do the young married women need? They need older women who are mature in Christ. They have living the life and they're able to teach. And may God help you, my dear friends, to be women of no compromise. So I'm not willing to compromise. That's what the gospel says. And for Jesus Christ and my husband and my kids, that's how I want to live. And to do that, there's often self-denial. Deny yourself often what you treasure and say, I'm going to pour my life into my family. Maybe you failed, like I have failed, in so many ways. What do? The wonderful thing is, and that's why that song brings you goosebumps, oh, the mercy of God. It's the most beautiful song I felt Noel Treddinick taught us. When we fail, say, Lord, I haven't always been an older man that's done this. I haven't always been a younger woman that's done that. What do? Come and say, Lord, I'm sorry. It's never too late. Let's go home, secondly, with a desire to live like this. And God will honor you. So let's pray for each other. Father, thank you for these passages that we've gone through over the last few Sundays. It's been a big challenge to all of us. We so often find ourselves being conformed to the world, but we don't want to be that. We want to be conformed by the gospel. For those perhaps who've heard these things and say, well, I'm a failure, I've messed up, I've done it all wrong, won't you show them your mercy, that it's never too late to start again, and that with you as our Lord, we can go on. You're willing to forgive where we fail. And please help me. Please help us all to so live and to teach that the Lord Jesus Christ alone is honored. May our lifestyles portray the gospel. And then I pray for every family that is represented here today, Lord. In a day where there's so much pressure on the home, so much divorce, oh God, please bless our families. Help us to love one another in a way that we've never loved before. In Jesus' name, amen.